Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as Pastor Wright mentioned, for the next 6 Sundays in Lent, he is going to have the midweek services dealing with Christian reconciliation, and I'm going to be preaching on the topic of our suffering Savior as depicted in Isaiah chapter 23. The remarkable thing about this chapter of the Bible, which predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow, is that it was penned 700 years before Christ. And what's prominent in this chapter from Isaiah is the predictive way that Isaiah would talk about the events of our Lord's Passion before those actual events ever took place. How he would describe in detail how our Lord would carry and bear our guilt and punishment on his shoulders as our suffering Savior. Now, we may be a bit startled this week by the sharp contrast between the Jesus we saw in glory last week up on the Mount of Transfiguration and the Jesus that we see this week marked by shame and humiliation in Isaiah 53. For the Jesus who appeared in all that divine radiance and glory just a week ago would soon be bathed in blood instead of glorious light. You see, Jesus was on his way to the cross to be that suffering servant that Isaiah spoke about. Isaiah says of Jesus, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Hundreds of years in advance of the events of Jesus' crucifixion, the Holy Spirit had prompted the prophet Isaiah to write about these events of our Lord's Passion. And the verses that we focus upon today from this Old Testament book of Isaiah describe how Jesus' appearance would be transfigured, but not in a glorious way, but now in a hideous way, as he endured the beatings of his trial and his scourging and ultimately his crucifixion. These events took such a physical toll upon Jesus that Isaiah will say that many were literally astonished as they looked on and observed his appearance, which Isaiah says was marred beyond human resemblance. Isaiah describes in advance how many turned away at that time from the Lord and refused to look at him on the day that he died. In part, they could not look upon Jesus because of his tortured external appearance. And yet men still turn away from Jesus today because his cross appears to be weak and ineffective. Those in the world who are arrogant about their own strength are greatly offended by the suggestion that they need what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And there will be a day in the future when that group of unbelievers will look away in shame from the radiance of Christ's face when he stands victorious in their presence. But on the day that Jesus would go to the cross, men and women would turn away in revulsion because of the raw and open and bloody wounds that now so disfigured his human appearance in a very disturbing manner. Now, none of us really wants to admit this, and it defies all political correctness, but I suppose there have been times when you and I have seen somebody who was just repulsive, ugly, hard to look at, And we have been guilty of passing inward judgments of others simply based on their outward appearance, just as people did with Jesus. I suppose we'd all like to believe we're more enlightened than that. And yet we have all at times reacted critically to someone who is overweight, who may be unkempt or smelly or dirty, who is obviously poor, maybe a beggar, who is handicapped, someone whose elevator doesn't quite go to the top, or someone who has been in an accident and has been disfigured for life. Much to my shame, I would like to tell you about an experience that I had like this as an incoming freshman when I attended St. John Lutheran College in Winfield, Kansas. One of the first faces that I met when I arrived on campus was so hideous and grotesque that I am embarrassed to tell you that I literally winced when I looked in his direction. His face was badly marred. He had thick scar tissue all over it, and there were blotches and uneven shadings of skin color because of it. His eyelids even unnaturally stretched as a result of the scarring. It was all I could do to keep from running away in revulsion as he approached me on the steps of Baden Hall. As the person behind this disfigured face cheerfully greeted me, I tried to hide my true reaction to his distorted appearance. But he knew. You see, he had seen that same disdainful, shocked look in thousands of other faces before mine. But instead of chiding me, he was very gracious and he let me off the hook by explaining how those scars were the result of an accident from his childhood. As a boy, he thought he was dousing a campfire by throwing water on it, but he had picked up the wrong bucket by mistake and it was gasoline. And the explosion had set him on fire. He went on to tell me how his father's quick thinking had saved his life, how while he was on fire, his father had swiftly wrapped him in a blanket and rolled with him on the ground to put out the fire. And then he went on to witness to me as a Christian and to tell me how his heavenly Father had worked so mercifully in the events of his life and through this disfigurement, and that this is how God had made him a mature believer in Christ. And the surprising thing is he held no anger about this towards God or towards anyone else. Instead, he savored life, and truly more than anybody I had ever met, he treated every day as a gift from God. And I learned something, because behind the scars, there was a cheerful, courageous, dynamic, personable, warm, caring human being, full of God's grace. And we became friends, and you know, after a while, I no longer even saw the scars. All I saw was an exemplary Christian faith and life. Now, this friend of mine volunteered regularly to work with residents at the state hospital that was in Winfield. And he took me to work among those people and to witness to the mentally handicapped, who in many cases were also physically disfigured. And they loved him, for they could see beneath his hideous appearance, and because he didn't pull away from them because of their appearance. He loved them. And in other places, he had to explain his appearance, but in this place, he did not, because they only saw Christ in him. God used this young man to teach me just how shallow and superficial I can be. and how appearances can be deceiving. And sadly, because of a feeble memory after 30 years, you know, I can't remember his name, and I can't even really remember his face. But I do remember his service to Christ and his sacrifice and how much it taught me about life. God used this friend's scars to teach me that appearances can be deceiving. You know, the type of person that you and I regard as ugly may say something about ourselves. Often we dislike people whose imperfections remind us of our own faults. If I am irritated by a man who has a thick head of hair, and believe me, I am, perhaps it's because he reminds me of the hair that I have lost. Or if you struggle with a weight problem, you may want to disassociate yourself from others who have a weight problem. Or if an unkempt person repulses you, perhaps it's because you're way too obsessive and vain about your own looks and image. If you despise the poor, maybe it's because your wealth has made you arrogant. If you turn your face away from a handicapped person, pretending not to acknowledge their existence, perhaps it's because you dread that someday you might find yourself in that condition. If you try to ignore the disfigured, maybe it's because they remind you that accidents are unpredictable and you too could suffer that fate. And I have known a lot of people who avoid visiting friends in the hospital or attending funerals. And maybe that's because their illnesses or their death remind us too painfully that we too will die. If we're honest about ourselves, if we look in the mirror, we all must admit that we have blemishes and physical defects that are unattractive and unappealing. None of us is whole. Even the movie stars that we admire are often not happy about their looks, and they are obsessed with their own imperfections. But you know, the way to solve the problem is not with makeup or braces or plastic surgery. For I am here to tell you today that what truly makes people ugly is sin. And maybe you've noticed how you can have the most attractive person in the world, but their sinful attitudes and actions can make them very unappealing. The original sin that we inherited from Adam and Eve, our first parents, will inevitably lead to a decline in our appearance with age. But far more important than our external appearance is our spiritual appearance. For by nature, each of us without Christ is ugly to God because of our sins. Sin has so hideously disfigured every one of us, so that we no longer resemble our holy, just, and loving God in our sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. Ever since sin entered our world, we've lost the image of God, which is the reflection of His perfection. And if not for Christ, God would abhor us and turn away from us and banish us from His sight. Yes, appearances can be deceiving. And you know, if anyone in the world should have been exceedingly handsome, you and I might have expected that it would be Jesus Christ. For after all, He is the Son of God. He is the man who is God incarnate. He is sinless. He is perfect in every way. And yet, what does our text prophesy about His appearance? It says, many were appalled, for His appearance was disfigured from that of a man. He had no form of majesty that should attract us to Him, no beauty that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and all too familiar with suffering. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and men had no regard for him. That's not like how we like to imagine Jesus. We like to imagine that he was visually impressive, a perfect specimen of a man, someone that you would truly want to follow. The movies often depict him that way. And yet the New Testament never gives us a physical description of Jesus. We don't hear how tall he was. We don't know what color hair he had. But whatever his appearance, the gospel tells us that there were many times in the life of our Lord when, for whatever reason, he was despised and rejected and discarded by men. Men turned away from him. They averted their eyes from him. They closed their ears to his preaching. Isaiah's description of the suffering servant's appearance finds fulfillment in the physical violence that Jesus suffered during the events of his passion. We all know the story, how he was beaten and scourged and crucified. What we don't know is how abhorrent that sight was in the ancient world, as it would be to us today. As a result of his suffering, he was ugly to the eye. And there was nothing about his battered appearance that would attract us to him. In fact, you have to ask yourself, who would want to fix their gaze upon what's being described here? And yet the scriptures ironically tell us that all of us who look to him in faith, to this suffering Jesus hanging on the cross, will be saved. For when you think about it, when you think about why Jesus became ugly, our view changes about him. You see, the ugliness of our sins were placed upon him. His disfigurement, his wounds, his scars that were inflicted on him, he suffered for our punishment. He was marred when he took our infirmities and trespasses upon himself. He suffered the scorn and derision of men. But most of all, Jesus suffered the Father's rejection. For this innocent Jesus, who himself knew no sin, became the ugliness of all of our sins in our place. God in heaven could literally not look at his Son after he became sin in our place. And the Father's rejection of him now becomes God's acceptance of you in Christ. And for this reason, we acclaim Jesus in him such as beautiful Savior, for we know that those ugly wounds have earned for us eternal life. Appearances can be deceiving, but remember how our God looks under the surface and he sees through shallow appearances. My friends, when God looks at you, he looks at you as believers, as baptized children of God. He sees you robed in the blood and righteousness of his Son, so that you appear beautiful and perfected in his sight. Yes, God turned away from and rejected his Son, but he did it so that he could love and accept you no matter who you are or what you have done. The cross was very ugly. Jesus on the cross was very ugly. But through that ugliness of what happened to Jesus, you are now beautiful in God's sight. Oh, you may still look like and act like sinners as we see that in one another. But again, looks can be deceiving. For from God's gospel perspective, from God's grace perspective, He has inwardly restored your innocence and your beauty and your worth to Him through Christ. And my friends, when it comes down to it, God's perspective is all that matters. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.